To kick off each hour of Thy Will Be Done pledge drive, we've asked the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to say a prayer.
Hi, my name is Nate Champagne, and I'm an 11th grader at St. John Bosco Academy. What I love most about my school is the amazing friends and teachers that support me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And you're listening to AM 1160, The Quest.
Thank you, St. John Bosco, for that wonderful prayer. And in that prayer, thy will be done, which is the theme of this pledge drive here on AM 1160, The Quest. I'm Dave Savage, the programming and production manager here at The Quest. And we are joined by two veterans of the pledge drive that have been here before, Father Tim Nadolski and Father Michael, it's Rivak.
Rivak,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And we're going to be talking about following God's will, which ties in with Thy Will Be Done, which is our theme.
You were telling us before we went on the air that it's definitely God's will that people call in to the Quest and that they donate to this drive, right?
That is God's will.
Very large donations that they remember you in their will as well.
That's right.
Right. Wow, yeah.
One of the few times we don't actually have to discern God's will in our life. It's for sure. He wants you to call in.
Exactly. 470-508-1160 is the number. You can go on to thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app, and you can donate there as well. So, gentlemen, what are we doing here today?
We're raising money is what we're doing. No, before we came in, we said, okay, thy will be done. Ought to talk about doing God's will. And what are the words that we say at Mass before we say the Lord's Prayer? At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say. A lot of people don't like that word, dare.
Well, and why do we dare to say it?
We dare to say it because
it's a dangerous prayer.
They're powerful words. to use the words that Jesus gave us himself and then to tell us, pray this, that my will be done. Yeah. And I think a lot of times when we say, Lord, may your will be done, we don't know what we're asking for always. Because his will might be for us to do something difficult. His will is going to be for us to suffer as he suffered. To unite our suffering to him. And so doing the will of God takes courage. Doing the will of God is something that can be very difficult.
Yeah, there's kind of two things. When we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, first of all, we're saying, I want to do what you want me to do rather than what I want to do. And for someone who's kind of apathetic towards the person they're trying to do the will of, that's a difficult thing. It's a burdensome thing. But as you grow to love more the one whose will you're seeking to do, the easier it becomes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about how for those of you out there listening and have been married for quite some time, think about how easy it used to be to do nice things for your spouse because that love was fresh and new, and you would have climbed to the moon and back and not broken a sweat to do whatever it was that your love wanted you to do. And as that love matures, we can sort of fall out of love, so to speak, but still seek the love of the good of the other, but with a little less fervor. When our faith and our love for the Lord kind of grows stale because we back away from him a little bit, or we start to seek our own will over his, it becomes more burdensome, more daunting to think about that. The other thing is we're giving up control of our lives. Mm-hmm. Right, we're saying, you know, in baptism we say that we've died. Dead men don't have preferences. Dead men don't have plans. Right, we've died to ourselves to live with Christ. Paul says it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And man, that means that whatever the Lord wants, that's what I do. I mean, and I am terrible at that. Mm-hmm. Like I mean. For most of my life, anyways, I mean, I could tell you a little bit about the struggle of discerning the priesthood in my life. I knew for a long time, for many years, that God wanted me to be a priest before I wanted to be one. And I was, part of my story, I share that, I mean, I was even ordained, knowing that God wanted me to be a priest and still struggling with wanting that myself. And, mm-hmm. I had to really go through difficult times to die to myself to do that. So when we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we have to really make sure that we're not saying, Lord, I want you to want what I want to be your will.
Right.
And that's so many times is what we pray.
Yeah, so often people, and they'll come and they'll say, I've been praying for this particular petition. And it's usually something big, like I'm praying for my son or my daughter to come back to the church. I'm praying for someone to be healed of cancer. I'm praying that the young father doesn't die and leave behind his children. I'm praying for these things, and it's not happening. And I want God to answer my prayer. And a lot of times I think we fail to recognize that to do God's will, sometimes, as I said, you suffer. So to do God's will, we have to recognize that it's not about our desires and our wants.
Yeah, so many times we can't possibly know God's plan. And intellectually we know that God does have a plan. But where that really lives is not in our intellect. It lives, to use colloquial terms, it lives in our heart to actually will and to desire what he wants. Not just to say, I know God has a plan for me and that all things will work out for the good for those who trust in the Lord, but right now this is what I want. And we have to be able to let that go. And move into a place where I mean, even daily, like sometimes I'm really scared when I wake up in the morning to pray, Lord, whatever you want for me today, let it be. Because I know all of a sudden my day is going to get a lot busier. If I'm open to doing what the Lord wants me to do, especially as a priest, I mean, there's a million things just around me that have the opportunity to show mercy and to be charitable towards, to be patient with, to be reconciling to. And sometimes I just don't want that burden. And so, again, going back to the we dare to pray, it's a dangerous prayer to pray. What do we say? We say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, great. That's easy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at the drama and the difficulty of Jesus's reconciling his will to the Father in the garden. He sweat blood to do the will of the Father. That's scary, right? And then we say, on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, that's nice. Lord, give us what we need to survive. I mean, sometimes I want to say, throw in there, Lord, give me this day my filet mignon. but that's not what we're actually asking for. Really, all we're asking the Lord to do is to provide us for what we need. And what we need really is the Eucharist, the bread of heaven. And then we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I usually can rephrase that sometimes when we're thinking about it. Lord, don't forgive me. I'm asking you, Lord, don't forgive me if I don't forgive my neighbor. Mm-hmm. That's scary. And that's the main thrust of his will, right? When we talk about thy will be done, we don't have to discern too much about God's particular will in our life, though we'll talk about that a little bit. How we discern God's will in our life, but by and large, his will is very simple. Walk with me humbly and love your neighbor as yourself. Be willing to forgive when they screw up because you've screwed up and have offended me, and I love you so much, I don't care. I want you back. I forgive you. Can you do that for somebody else? That's his will.
Yeah, and I often tell people, when we pray that part, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In fact, I say it at every funeral, that we should recognize that God has forgiven us, and we should recognize that we don't deserve it, and that it's such a good thing that we should want it for other people. We should be jealous for other people to be able to experience the mercy of God in the way that we have experienced it. But we can only do that if we're willing to extend it ourselves as well. I like to encourage people to pray the Litany of Humility a lot. it's just a very powerful prayer. And when people pray that prayer, they come back, a couple weeks later and they say, Father, I don't like that prayer that you recommended. I said, why? Well, because I'm, all these invocations, seeking humility, that I may be forgotten and that, I may, others may be more recognized and all the different things. And it's working, it's coming true. And I say, yeah, because you're asking God to have his will done in your life. You're not asking him for a new car. You're not asking him for a lottery ticket. You're not asking him for even something like good. You're not asking him to, like I said earlier, bring your son back to the practice of the faith, you're asking him to humble you, to make you more like him. If you want to be holy, you have to be humble first. And we have to have opportunities to be humbled.
Talking about thy will be done here on the Spring Pledge Drive, that's our theme. And we have Father Tim Nadolski and Father Michael Rivak from St. Clair of Assisi Catholic Church.
Yeah, and we are happy to be here. I was thinking as Father Tim was talking about the will of God, and the will of God is I mean, it's a thing that made all things, right? But when we talk about the will of God, we usually only consider it from our own perspective. Of course, the will of God is ultimately the pouring out of the Father to the Son, and the Son receiving that, and the reciprocation of that, pouring himself out to the Father, and from that the Holy Spirit pours forth. I mean, the will of God is immense. But when we bring it down to a manageable size to consider and how it impacts us, there's two general categories in my mind when we talk about the will of God. There's a general universality. This is what God wills for every single person that he's made. And then there's a particularity. This is what God desires for you, right? And as I already mentioned, we'll talk about how to discern God's will for us individually, but universally, so many times people don't even start doing God's will on a universal level, and then they start complaining that they don't know God's will on a particular level. And let me explain what I mean. God's will for every human being is that they do good and that they avoid evil, right? He doesn't want any, but universally, across the board, there is not a single person in the world that God wants to do evil, mm-hmm. right? And there's every single person in the world that he wants to do good. And if we don't start with that foundation, if we don't say, okay, as a human being, and this is something that anybody in any religion who has any understanding of what God might be can understand, right? I mean, this is such a universal law. We need to do good and avoid evil. If we don't look at ourselves with enough humility to say, okay, I need to do good to others and I need to avoid doing evil to others, we're never going to be able to move into what's God's will for my life. And so the first step that we have to do in discerning God's will in our life is looking at ourselves in light of God's will universally. What are the things in my life that I'm doing that are evil? And have I looked at those and started to address, okay, what are these things and how do I start cutting them out? And then what are the things that I'm doing good in my life or things in my life that are obviously things that I need to be doing that are good and I'm omitting doing them. I'm not doing them. So as we kind of look at that, we can say, okay, well, how do I know what's right and wrong? And here as Catholics, this is, and as Christians, this is where we have such a wonderful gift, because the God, the one true God, the God who's always been and always will be, despite the universality and the multiplication of religions in the world, he took on flesh and he came and dwelt among us. And that's before, I mean, that's after many times before that he's revealed himself. He revealed himself in the law. He revealed himself in the scriptures. He's revealed himself through the prophets. Finally, he reveals himself in the flesh, right? And that flesh, in drawing all people to himself, forms the church. We can know for ourselves with absolute certitude so many things about our life if we just look at what the church teaches us and how she asks us to live as Christians.
Mm-hmm. Let me just jump in here real quick. Thank you, Father Michael, for that. And we're talking about Thy Will Be Done with Father Tim Nadolski and Father Michael Rivak from St. Clair of Assisi. And I want to thank a few people here. Some of them left over from our last hour at noon. Janet and Ray from Dunwoody, thank you very much for your generous donation, as well as Laura from Atlanta, Chris and Beth. We also have Bob and Nancy. I don't know, Father, maybe you know Bob and Nancy from Sandy Springs.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Thank you very much for your support.
My mom and dad haven't called in yet. That's no.
Well, let's keep going here. Let's see who, David P., in honor of my Holy Trinity friends on the radio, John G., Craig W., and Jeff S. from the 11 a.m. hour on Wednesday. David's from Roswell. Thank you very much. Jeff S. from Roswell, in honor of the family room. Kurt In honor of Monica and Andy on the 11 o'clock hour. Kurt's from Sandy Springs. From Woodstock, we have Daniel N. in honor of Dale Gregg on the 9 a.m. hour Tuesday. And also Catherine in honor of Father Tim. Catherine's from Alpharetta. Thank you very much. And
Tim too, Michael? No, nil.
Clarence and Kathy from Smyrna, thank you very much for your support. We have that matching money. So each one of those people that I read, well, except for the ones from the noon hour, but each one of these from the 3 o'clock hour, their donations were matched, dollar for dollar, up to $2,000. We got a very generous donor that said, hey, I got some matching money here. Whatever these people do, I'll match it. So that's a very generous offer right there, up to $2,000. That goes until 4 o'clock. And to donate, you call 470-508-1160. You log on to thequestatlanta.com, click the little donate button with the dollar sign up there. The Quest Atlanta app also has a place where you can donate, and you can do it the old-fashioned way. We've got a whole bank of whole room full of volunteers sitting at the phone bank there, ready to take your call at 470-508-1160. Father Nadolski?
Yeah, I just thank you guys for your generosity and for giving to this great apostolate. Just continue to do so. It's amazing how much of kind of a grassroots thing this radio station is. As I arrived, I saw two of my classmates from like all the way back to kindergarten, their mothers here answering the phone and praying. So it's amazing to see that it's a real community thing from the church in Atlanta. But back to doing God's will, doing God's will, you know, Father Michael talked about what does the church ask of us? And a lot of times we confuse God's will and preference, right? We confuse what it is that I want or that I prefer in life. And if we really think about it, what we prefer in life oftentimes is out of disobedience. It's out of sinfulness. It's out of vice. People don't sin people sin because generally it seems appealing, right? Like the apple in the garden, it was appealing. It was good for food. It was
delightful to the eyes.
Yeah, delightful to the eyes.
And good for gaining knowledge.
Right. So what's wrong with eating that? That looks good. Well, what's wrong with eating it is God said, don't eat it. And oftentimes we recognize that God speaks to us through the church. God speaks to us through revelation. We know that there are certain things that we ought to and ought not do.
Did God ever make a list of those things somewhere? Like, wouldn't that be nice?
Like if somebody were to go up on a mountain and God told him directly, hey, write these things down.
There's 10 or 15 of them. Isn't that,
well, I think they started at 15.
Yeah, there were 15, but he dropped one of the tablets, according to the the prophet Mel Brooks.
Right. You know, and in addition to the Ten Commandments, the church gives us five precepts, right? And those precepts are there to sort of order and make our life in common, our common life as Christians, good and pleasing to the Lord. And so getting back around to this universal will of God for every single human person, God wants every person to be saved. He wants every person, therefore, to be baptized. He wants every person, therefore, to be a member of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the body of his son. Right. And so the best thing that we can do is to recognize that through the authority of God Almighty and the church that he has made his body, we can know so much about who we are and what God's will is in our life without even having to take it to prayer. Just looking and saying, okay, when was the last time I examined my conscience? Am I really fulfilling the Ten Commandments? Am I really fulfilling the precepts of the church? Or am I only kind of halfway there? Like a lot of people, maybe they know, okay, I've got to go to Mass on Sunday, but they only go to Mass on Sunday because of the precept. But then they don't fast, right? Like, I mean, we're in Lent and we're fasting. And I promise you, if you're a Catholic out there, not if you're not a Catholic, but certainly if you're Catholic because you're living according to the precepts of the church, if you're a Catholic out there and you're not fasting in some way on Fridays during Lent and abstaining from something, you're not doing God's will. You're not. That's a sure thing. And you can't then not do that and then hope to discover God's will for you particularly in your life. right? Similarly, when we have, when the church says, I would like you to do, say for example, I'm trying not to get in the weeds here. Some of these examples are dangerous. They're going to blow up the phone lines, and not in a good way.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can we back up just a hair?
Yeah, something interesting there.
Well, just because you were talking about fasting, and I think on the surface, everybody think, you know, when it comes to fasting, I'm not going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all there is to it? I'm just not going to eat today.
So fasting is sort of a subcategory of a general category that we call abstinence, mm-hmm. abstaining from something. It's certainly something that we choose a little something to do for ourselves during Lent. We abstain from something. I abstain from YouTube because YouTube is like through the looking glass for me. I am Alice, and I fall through the looking glass when I get onto YouTube, and I recognize that I was a slave to it. I was using it mm-hmm. Excessively, and so I'm abstaining from YouTube. Fasting typically does refer to food, but it doesn't necessarily mean no food at all. When you say when you choose for yourself, I'm going to fast, you get to choose your own rules, right? But when you're part of a community and that community has an authority and that authority says, when we fast on this day, this is how we're going to fast, then that's what we have to do. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with what Father Tim was talking about, where we don't impose our preferences on what the church is asking us to do. Honestly, because I am where I am in my life, I think we should be fasting and doing days of abstinence more often than we do. But
it's so hard. 2 days a year where we have to fast.
You're right.
And it's not like a fast Friday. like in the East where they're basically vegans. It's a fast where we eat one full meal, and two smaller meals not equaling the same.
And let's be honest, an American small meal is pretty much a full meal.
Oh, and Friday I gotta go and eat fried fish. Darn. Oh, it's with, you know, ketchup and malt vinegar and, you know, maybe a nice malty beverage along with it. It's such a difficult fast that we have as Catholics.
And as Father Tim was articulating so well, like I personally think that that we should be a little bit more stringent about that. But man, that's my preference. That's not for me to like go around telling everybody you've got to do this, because that's my preference. But think about how many times we go around and we just pick and choose what we want to do as Catholic Christians. That's not doing God's will. Mm-hmm. It's not doing God's will. When we know God has said something, that's it. And if we want to get to God, what do you have for me in my life? We have to start with saying all of the things that he has clearly said for every person. I need to start doing those before I can start looking at myself.
So, Father Michael, you mentioned that we have to examine our conscience, and the church teaches a lot about conscience. And a lot of folks will say, well, you know, you've got to follow your conscience, and that's the ultimate
proximate norm of morality.
Yeah. So I feel bad because there's a theologian sitting in here, and I might ask him to speak about it. But
he's not talking about me. The good doctor and renowned author Paul Thigpen is sitting in on our session here, judging us with such a delightful smile on his face. It's just, he's such a paternal figure. It's really giving us a great kick of confidence. And now he's bright red.
But again, you know, the church is teaching on conscience. The conscience has to be well formed. I used this example the other day at Mass in doing the will of God. You know, if my conscience tells me that it's okay for me to rob a bank, does that mean that I can rob a bank? No, it can't. I can't, because I'm doing evil.
There's an objective norm of right and wrong, and we have to be willing to subject our intellect and our wills to objective norms of morality. And the conscience is something that gives us sort of the desire to do what is good. And the discernment to know what is right and wrong.
So if my conscience says I don't have to fast and I don't have to do any penance, then do I listen to that?
If you're under 65, you don't listen to that, because that's not your conscience talking. That's the devil.
That's a good place to take a break, I think, isn't it? This is Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive here on AM 1160 The Quest. We're talking with Father Tim Nadolski and Father Michael Rivak from St. Clair of Assisi Catholic Church, and we will be right back.
You're listening to AM 1160 The Quest, and this is our Spring Pledge Drive, where the theme is Thy Will Be Done. After hearing these stories of God's will, if you're moved to donate, please call 470-508-1160. Go to our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Remember, The Quest is 100% listener supported, and we rely on donations from people like you to stay on the air. We'll be back to Thy Will Be Done pledge drive shortly on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
If you're looking for something special that touches your heart and helps you come closer to Jesus during this Lenten season, The Quest will present a feature presentation of the 24 Hours of the Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, as received by the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, known as the Little Daughter of the Divine Will. This moving and powerful series can be heard each Friday during Lent, immediately following the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. on AM 1160, The Quest.
If you want to know what's going on at parishes and other events in the Atlanta Archdiocese, just go to the events calendar at thequestatlanta.com. You'll find events like these.
The inaugural Northside St. Patrick's Parade and Festival will be on Saturday, March 18th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Sandy Springs City Green. It'll be an all-round family-friendly day of fun. Southeastern Women's Retreat Arise will be in April at the Heart Ridge Retreat and Cultural Center in the Jocassee Wilderness area of South Carolina. Sign up early because it's limited to only 50 women. Do you feel God may be calling you to serve as a priest in the Archdiocese of Atlanta? Well, there's going to be a vocational discernment mass for men Saturday, March 18th at 10 a.m. at St. Luke the Evangelist Church in Dahlonega. Catholic Church of St. Anne in Marietta is having a garage sale Friday and Saturday, March 24th and 25th.
For more information on these and other events, click events at thequestatlanta.com or click contact to get your event added to the Quest event calendar.
A Lenten reflection on AM 1160, The Quest.
Lent encourages us to put our love into action. Pope Gregory the Great said,
"The proof of love is in the works. Where love exists, it works great things. But when it ceases to act, it ceases to exist."
Step out in charity and love during this Lenten season, because love is a call to action, compelling us to cooperate with God's grace to bring joy into the lives of others.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
Have you seen the license plates that have a bald eagle on them with the motto, "Give wildlife a chance"? Did you know that there's a federal law in all 50 states protecting bald eagle and sea turtle eggs? If you destroy these eggs, you can be penalized up to $250,000 and sentenced up to 10 years in prison. Our country protects these eggs by law, not because they're eggs, but because of the creatures they will become if protected and allowed to grow. Surely our government would never say that a sea turtle or a bald eagle is more valuable than a human life. Yet, there is no fine at all for aborting a human baby in the earliest stage of his or her development. Consider a new motto: give human life a chance. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest. Make your pledge or donation by calling 470-508-1160 on our app or go to thequestatlanta.com. Now back to Thy Will Be Done Pledge Drive on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And I'm Dave Savage, the production and programming manager here at AM 1160, The Quest, joined this hour by Father Tim Nadolski and Father Michael Rivak. And we've got some people, little action on the phones here. I want to thank a few people. Clarence and Kathy from Smyrna, thank you very much. Cheryl from Ackworth, thank you. Michelle H. from Powder Springs, in honor of Father Tim and Father Michael. Roxanne, do you know a Roxanne?
I do know a Roxanne. That would be my mother.
From yeah. Stockbridge.
I guilted her into calling. Thanks, okay. Thanks, Mom. I love you. I love you lots.
And then also Aaron from Rome, in honor of Father Tim and Father Michael. Thank you very much for your generosity, everybody.
Thank you, Aaron. That's my sister.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Thank you very much, Aaron. And yeah, so we're talking about the Well, one more time, I'll just give out the phone number and mention that there is matching funds on the table. So each one of those people I mentioned, their donation was doubled. It was matched dollar for dollar because we have up to $2,000 in matching funds for this hour, and that goes up until 4 o'clock. And if you want to donate, it's 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160. You can go to thequestatlanta.com. thequestatlanta.com, or get the Quest Atlanta app on your phone, and you can donate all of those ways as well. So, Father Michael, Father Tim, what's happening?
Whatever God is willing is happening. Right now, God is willing for our voices to be broadcasted throughout Georgia and really all over the world.
At least he's permitting it. That's his permissive will. He's not doing anything to stop it.
Right. Exactly.
So do remember, y'all, we're here to raise money for a good apostolate. Remember, we were talking in the first half hour that universally speaking, God wants all people to avoid doing evil and to look for ways to do good. And this is a great way to do good. So in any way that you can contribute, either through your prayers or your donations to the apostolate and the mission of the Quest Radio, please, please definitely do that.
So in discussing doing God's will, the big picture is do good and avoid evil. But in my daily life, when I have decisions to make, whether they're small decisions, whether they're big decisions, doing God's will in my life, what does that look like? Oftentimes people, they'll ask, Father, I'm trying to discern, am I supposed to take this job or that job? How do I discern the will of God in my life? And am I hearing God? Am I hearing myself? Or am I hearing something else? And that's the difficult question, to be able to say, is God willing that that you become an airline pilot, or that you become a oil rig worker?
Well, I'll tell you, if you get to that point, though, you've already come a long way, because you down into the nitty gritty of your life, you're seeking to know what God wants for that part of your life. That's already a big win. If the biggest step in discerning God's will, I think, is starting to ask, and ask with sincerity. We mentioned how sometimes people want God's will to be what they want, so that they can, when they say thy will be done, they're actually getting what they want. But when you actually let go of that and say, okay, Lord, in this part of my life right here, what do you want? What do you want it to look like? Man, you have already come a long, long way. And I was just thinking, and then naturally the thought left my brain as I was talking about something else. But in discerning God's will, Father Tim mentioned three sort of layers of things. He mentioned God's voice, which is what we want to listen to, but he also mentioned my own voice, and he mentioned the world, and these three layers, and sort of in the world, you have the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes when I pray, my stomach is the loudest voice I hear. It's usually the case. I'm praying, and all I'm hearing is grumble, grumble, grumble. Feed me, Seymour, and I can't hear any other voice than that. And I have to recognize that. Okay, I'm not hearing God's voice. I'm hearing the voice of my flesh. Sometimes I hear the voice of the devil, not necessarily his voice speaking, but I'm reminded of past sins or illicit desires and it's distracting my prayer. I don't want those, but he keeps dripping that honey into my ear. Or I'm hearing the noise of the world, like I'm thinking about my long, long, ever-growing list of save-for-later videos on YouTube, or the next episode of a show I'm watching on Netflix. And that voice, that distraction, is going to be the first layer that I have to get through when I'm seeking God's will. I have to shut that stuff out. And that's where silence comes in. That's where every Christian should seek out silence, if not their whole day, for parts of their day, so that they can get down into the quiet stillness where they can hear their voice and God's voice, and ultimately can hear the conversation between the two.
Father, can I jump in here real quick? And you're talking about that silence, and I get what you're saying there, but so many times I'll be sitting in the chapel in silence, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, I've got to get this done today, and oh, I got to get, but, and so silence is a difficult thing.
It is difficult. Do you know why everybody, Well, up until recently, everybody did all their best thinking on the toilet because it was the only time in the day that you had to stop.
Yeah.
And actually think. Every other part of your day is scripted for you except for that toilet time. But yeah. Now, guess what happens?
You got the phone.
You got the phone in the toilet. Come on, people. And so as a Christian, we have to intentionally seek out those times. The world is doing everything that it can. Society, the devil, whatever you want to call it, is doing everything it can to destroy any moment of silence. And so as Christians, we have to seek that out, which means we have to practice it. The moment you start in silence, you're not going to be in silence. You have to dig deep for it. And then you have to practice it. Like you said, if the only time of day that you stop and are in silence is once a day, that's going to be the day that you start filling it up with your to-do lists. But if you have several moments of the day where you can enter into some silence, and I don't mean monastic silence, I mean withdraw from your coworkers for a little while, close your office door for a little while, turn your phone on vibrate for 10 minutes. The later you get in the day, the more often you hit those periods of silence, the more you're actually going to have processed all the things that you need to, that you would be distracted by. And you can actually get into the silence. Silence is hard. It's elusive. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I did a silent retreat at the seminary. It was a 5-day silent retreat. I thought I was going to claw my eyeballs out. And that was at minute 5, right? But by the 5th day, I didn't want to leave that silence. It was beautiful. And I could think. I could hear myself. I became familiar with my own voice, which meant I could distinguish between my voice and God's voice. So many times we go to prayer. The first voice we hear, we think that's God's will. But what is it most likely? It's most likely our voice.
So we talked about fasting earlier, and you know, fasting from noise is really a good thing. Fasting from the voice of the world, you know. So in your car, turn off the radio. Don't do that right now. Right now, call 470-508-1160 or go to thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app. You can donate. Your funds will be matched. This beautiful apostolate will continue. But maybe at another time of the day, turn off the radio. Don't turn the TV on. Look for some time where you can practice silence. Where maybe it's difficult because you're a mother with several children and they're constantly needing you. You have to kind of create those times for silence. And
well, that's why God invented duct tape in closets, right? You could just, right, for 10, 15 minutes a day, you just tape them up and you put them in the closet.
That is what I do with my cats when they won't be quiet. I throw them in a room and close the door.
Now I know why you were asking me if we had a 20-second delay on here.
I am not. Okay, let me disclaimer, y'all, for those of you who can't have discerned that was humor. Please do not illegally arrest, subdue, otherwise tie up your children and put them in the closet.
But sometimes that for the young mother, that means waking up a little bit earlier, going to bed a little bit later, which is a challenge in and of itself, of course, because you're already waking up earlier and going to bed later.
But fostering a silence in your home is something that you can do. It might take years. It might take a few years from where you are right now. But if you foster more stillness and more quiet in your house, your kids will scream less. They'll be quieter in their movements, gentler in their movements, and you'll foster a home of silence. The first time I went into a house where a Christian family had really done this, they just kind of talked at a normal volume. They moved at a reserved pace. It was so refreshing. I felt like I was actually, honestly, I felt like more like I had just entered a church than I do a lot of times when, as a priest, I enter the parish, because as soon as you go in, there's stuff to do. I walked into this house and everyone's so peaceful, and they had kids. And it was just amazing. But it took them a long time to foster that.
Oh, that we could walk into our church and it be silent before Mass. Wouldn't that be
or after Mass.
Beautiful thing. I'm not talking about any parish in particular. I'm talking about every parish. Because, I mean, if we think about it, we're looking for this silence where we can hear the voice of God. And so we've got this time. We're going to come to Mass, whether it's on a weekday morning, it's on Sunday. We're coming to Mass and we sit down in the church and we can't even be comfortable enough to sit in the church in silence with God. We got to talk to the person next to us and, you know, disturb their silence if they're trying to be silent.
Or get on our phone. The number of people I see on their phones before Mass starts is now, to be fair, some of them are probably doing some of their prayers and everything, but it's staggering.
They might be on the Quest Atlanta app.
I'm sure that's or the St. Clair.
The St. Clair My Parish app.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. These
Looking
are
for the daily reading.
These are all good. These are all good things. Yep, exactly. Or doing their online donation. Their online tithing. That's fine too. but we see now, and Father Tim, thank you for articulating those three sort of layers of the world, the flesh, the devil, and then my voice, and then God's voice. When it really comes down to it, and we're really seeking to do God's will in our life, sometimes we can be afflicted. I told you, we universally, it's to do good and avoid evil. Well, let's say, what happens when you have 100 good possibilities in front of you? Like you live a good life, and most of the decisions you make in the day is a decision between multiple good things. You can have consumer paralysis, like being on the peanut butter aisle at the grocery store. Why are there so many peanut butters? You need peanut butter, so you go around the corner to the peanut butter aisle, and it's an entire aisle of different kinds of peanut butter. How do you choose? What do you choose? Well, in the spiritual life, when we're praying for God's will, that's where God gives us, in the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of counsel. That's what counsel's for. He doesn't give us the gift of counsel and confirmation so we can counsel others. That's not what that gift is. That gift is there so that we can be counseled by him. And I kind of use the image when I talk about seeking the will of God as hunting the will of God. I in my own mind, I see a bloodhound. When I'm seeking the will of God, I'm seeking the Holy Spirit, that elusive game, and I need to hunt it down. And the way that the dog tracks is through scent. I know what the Holy Spirit smells like. I have a relationship with him. I know his scent. I know what he looks like. I know his game and how he moves. And we learn that through our own personal prayer. And so I can track the Holy Spirit in my own life and discern his will for me. And I do that like a bloodhound does. I pick up the scent and I sniff left, right, center. And wherever I smell the Holy Spirit, I move that one more step, and I smell again, I track again, I sniff, I scent again, and then I move that step in whatever direction he goes. And you know what's interesting is that the dogs don't pay any attention to their surroundings, none whatsoever. They get that scent, and they're on that scent. If they had to walk through a fire, they probably wouldn't even realize it until they were halfway through because they're so on that scent. And that's a beautiful thing for us, is if we're just looking for God's will and we're sensing the Holy Spirit and we're following him, it doesn't matter if we have to climb a mountain or swim a river or go into a cave, we can be at peace and confidently follow the smell of the scent of the Holy Spirit until we finally find that will for us in our life.
We're talking with Father Tim Nadolski and Father Michael Rivak here about Thy Will Be Done. That is a theme of this pledge drive here on AM 1160 The Quest. And it's local priests like this that you know, make the quest. I mean, we what am I trying to say here? That I mean, the priests,
you're trying to say all of the priests that have been on here so far have really met your expectations, except for us.
I wouldn't even say that. No, I'd say including you. But no, what I'm saying here, though, is that the quest is involved in the local communities, in the local parishes, and that's why we have these priests, these local priests in here. And to keep that local thing going here in Atlanta, we need your support for the quest, because we are 100% listener supported. And that's how we exist, is by donations from listeners like you. Right now, we've got $2,000 on the line for matching money. So anything you donate will be doubled up to $2,000. If you want to donate, you can call 470-508-1160. We've got a whole crew of people in the other room there on a bank of phones answering the calls at 470-508-1160. You can also go to thequestatlanta.com or the Quest Atlanta app and donate that way as well.
Thank you to Dan from Athens for your donation as well.
Did Dan donate?
Well, he texted me and he told me that he was listening, and I urged him in a pastoral manner to not be a freeloader.
Dan, how are you? I'm glad you're still with us.
I don't see Dan on the list here. But...
Well, maybe he's lying. And if he is, now the whole world knows.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Better hit up confession here pretty soon, Dan.
Yeah, talking about doing God's will, a lot of times I like to, you know, imagine Abraham, and here's this old man, and God calls to him, and he calls him to just totally uproot his life. move, change your name. You're going to start a nation. You're going to listen to me. You're going to sacrifice your son at my request. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to ask you to do this sign of the covenant, which, I mean, imagining Abraham there when God asked him for the sign of the covenant, I can just imagine him kind of looking up at the sky and be like, excuse me? But recognizing that trust that he had in God, are we able to really put our trust in God? Not in a like, okay, I trust that God will be there for me. I trust that God will help me to grow in holiness, that God will help me to be more like him. But can I really trust in God in all the different aspects of my life?
Think about how often we imagine God's will is just a pleasant thing, right? And if something's hard, it couldn't possibly be God's will. If it causes us to suffer, it couldn't possibly be God's will. If it causes me to lose a relative or to lose my health, how could God will this? But I mean, look, it was like you said, it was God's will. Now he didn't follow through with it, but it was God's will that Abraham sacrifice Isaac. It was God's will that the sons of the mother Maccabees were killed in front of her and martyred in front of her. That was God's will. It was God's will that that the Israelites suffer hunger and thirst for a period of time.
And that the Egyptian children were slaughtered.
It was God. Yeah, it was God's will that the firstborn of the Egyptians die. It was the first. It was God's will that that we have the names of in the martyrology that we have for the church, that they gave their life for Christ. It was God's will that so many men that I know in my life have been called to the Lord and have left families behind. And people are left wondering, how could this possibly be God's will? But it's God's will because he sees the bigger picture. And the beautiful thing about thy will be done is that he's giving us the invitation to live in that bigger picture and to be a part of painting that masterpiece of the Father that we call the history of salvation. It's something that we're all going to be able to stand back and look at, God willing anyways, when we die and we go to heaven, to be able to stand back and say, wow, God, that sucked at the time, but I can't believe you invited me to be be part of something so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I think I owe an apology to Dan, possibly.
He said he did it online.
Okay. You said Athens, and I see a Dan here from Bogart.
Oh, that's outside of Athens.
Okay.
That's a suburb of Athens.
I'm sorry, Dan. Apologies.
Poor Dan.
But while we're on the subject, I want to thank Carol from Ackworth. That's in honor of Father Tim and Father Michael, and also Vic. I think it's Vic and Dee, possibly, from Ackworth. Yep. That's in honor of Father Tim and Father Michael. So thank you very much for your generosity. And each one of those was matched dollar for dollar because we have up to $2,000 in matching funds.
If each of those were matched up to $2,000, that means that we haven't raised more than $2,000, y'all. We got to do better than that. We have had a whole hour.
Yeah, we're getting close here.
Unless I just put you all to sleep. Is that what happened?
We got five more minutes.
All the big donors fell asleep because I talked too much. That's what they tell me about my homilies anyways.
So ultimately, you know, doing God's will, we gave all these examples of these difficult things, especially from Scripture. But then ultimately, it's God's will that he himself die on a cross. And he does that to set us free. He does that so that we can better do his will, so that we can be more like him.
He doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't done himself.
Right. So we go back to fasting, and ultimately, what is it that we have to do? We have to die to self. We have to allow our will to be set aside. At weddings, I always tell couples, I quote from St. Paul, you know, he says the dreaded one where, you know, wives be obedient to your husband. And I say, that's the easy part. I said, the difficult part's for the husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And Christ loves the church to the point of death on a cross. And so if we really, truly want to do the will of God in our life, we have to die to self. We have to take off the old man and to put on Christ. We have to conform our lives to him in every aspect, not just for an hour on Sunday, not just when I'm listening to something on the quest, or, you know, when good things are happening, but even in the bad things, right? Even in the suffering, even in the struggles, you know, when I check my stock portfolio and I get a little scared, do I really trust in God, or do I trust more in the power and wealth that's around me?
I want to remember how much the, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say remember, because you might actually not know. Know how much the Father loves you. And he loves you so much. And if you've had the experience of having your own children, which, you know, I know a little about through anecdote and caring for people as a priest can, as a father, if you have the experience of having a child and you know what that love is, can you really allow yourself to believe that God loves you as much as you love your kids? Can you really allow yourself to believe that God would do anything in his power for the good of you, for your good, as you would do for your own child? Think of all the sacrifices y'all make for your kids. I mean, the ridiculous hours in the car of taking back and forth practices and fighting with them over their grades and doing well in school, because you know that they need to do well in school for their future, and they don't know that. Well, similarly, God knows what he asks us to do is good for our future, even though we might be a little short-sighted and not see it that way. That's where it comes down to trusting in the Lord, as Father was saying. So, thy will be done. Do good, avoid evil. Pursue God's preferences over your own. Find that silence in your day where you can enter in and quiet the noise of the world, the flesh, and the devil, those three big tempters. And then listen to your own voice having a conversation with God, and seek, as I said, seek the aroma of the Holy Spirit and pursue him with everything you've got. Because when you find him, that's where you'll find the will of God in your life, and you'll be delighted at what you find.
Fathers Tim and I'll go formal here. Father Tim Nadalski and Father Michael Rivak, thank you very much for helping out with the pledge drive today. And we thank you, all the parishioners from St. Clair of Assisi.
Well done, St. Clair.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yes, absolutely.
And Dan.
Also, yes, and Dan, too, in Bogart, not in Athens. And also, we want to thank Mary B. In Kennesaw. She's that donated in honor of Father Tim and Father Michael. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Fathers, thank you very much for being here.
Can we close in prayer?
Well, please do.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.